Hi, and welcome to Gamercast. This is episode 103. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And this is Gamercast.
Episode 103.
Oh, you better move the tissues. Right. Did we have any letters?
I don't know, I ain't looked.
Horror. I shot Ribena at my nose last week for my dinner watching Family Guy. That was great.
Yeah, the worst I've had is, I was still quite young though. And I was eating my bowl of cereals and I needed to sneeze and I couldn't swallow.
What the hell are you on about? I'm trying to find the letters.
So I sneezed my cereals all over the breakfast table.
You sneezed them all over the breakfast table?
Well, yeah. I was trying not to spit my drink out and I laughed while taking a mouthful and I ended up with Ribena coming out my nose and dripping into my dinner. I still like my dinner because it's really nice, but it was just
right. Well, we don't have any letters. Okay? No letters.
No letters.
So you can talk about whatever you want for a couple of seconds. Anyway, we actually have a special guest here this week. His name is Jam Donut. You can find him on Steam Weed or Cartel.
Yes, and that's me over in the background, trying not to spit things at anyone anymore.
Yeah, we kind of.
Well, it's more of a spray.
Yeah,
because look, it had a wide angle, man.
You do. You're like a blunderbuss on the keyboard. You've got a blunderbuss. You just, unfortunately, something was said funny and...
Why was it funny?
I don't know.
I just said about the noobs.
Yeah, noobs that you invited in our guild and how you were leaving them to start Gamercast, and it just made me laugh.
And in the process sprayed us in Stella Artois. I've just been wife beaten.
It was unintentional, I do apologise.
It's quite alright. Right. News first?
Yep. What was the URL?
I don't know. We might have to skip that bit and you've seen you lost it.
Nope, we'll go to a magic search engine.
Right, I'll just start off with what I remember. NCSoft, a massive multiplayer company that have been making games such as Guild Wars and City Heroes and City of Villains, have stated that something about that they're going to be cancelling a space
game.
Massive multiplayer online.
Black Star.
Yeah, Black
NCSoft
Star.
NCSoft pulls funding from Black Star, massively multiplayer online funky game.
They're saying that 12 people have
so
been
Black
made
Star
off.
Is an original space combat property, blah blah blah. They decided they're not going to fund it because they can't be bothered and they're too greedy and too fat and they don't want to take a risk at, you know, funding a game.
Yeah. Well, I know that they're already making a massive multiplayer for the Xbox 360 at the moment.
Are they?
Yeah, they're making a one that's based from Marvel Universe. So it's using all the Marvel comic superheroes.
Oh, whoopee.
Which is good, because it means it's one of the first superhero massive multiplayer games that they know they won't get sued on.
What was that?
I don't know.
Oh, that was Obi Rocks joining the chat room.
Obi Rocks.
Let's turn the sound off in the chat room so we don't get that happen again.
Obi-Wan
sup, dude?
Kenobi.
He says sup.
Sup,
sup dude? Sup, Chris? Sup.
Hi, Mr. Rocks.
Yeah, you're too quiet. Shout.
I said, hi, Mr. Rocks.
Better. Yeah, so that's been cancelled. No more funding for Black Star. Not that anybody was waiting for that anyway, though.
Nope, I was new. You know, you find out these really cool games are coming out on the day that you find out that they've been cancelled.
Sony and Nintendo... So yeah, also in the news this past week, Nintendo and Sony have been sued over their wireless controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So this follows up on a lawsuit two, maybe 3 years ago against Sony for patent violations with, I think it was Immersion Tech who did the Rumble feature. They had a patent on that. And both Nintendo and Sony are up against the wall this time.
Why?
Something to do with
who knows?
somebody owns the patent for something.
Let me read it. The patent, which was filed in January of 1996, covers a method for connecting devices to a system and sorting their inputs by means of hardware identification numbers tied to each transmission. According to the suit, Nintendo and Sony are violating the Corporate Innovations Group patent by making and selling their systems and controllers. The Wii Remote, Wii Nunchuck, Siraxis Controller, and Blu-ray Remote Control are all named in the suit as infringing products.
Mm.
So in other words, this sounds like a big pile of crap, and they're just trying to make some money off the success of the Wii.
Mm.
And the lack of success of the PlayStation. So this is just, ridiculous.
Why aren't they suing Microsoft as well? Because that
Microsoft use different protocols.
Oh, yeah.
Microsoft use their own in-house things.
Okay, then.
Uh-huh.
Just asking for those people who don't know.
What is the controller connection for the Xbox 360 controller?
Well,
is it still Bluetooth, is it? Like a Wi-Fi?
The Wii and PlayStation 3 controllers use Bluetooth.
Mm.
They use Bluetooth. Yeah, the Wii remote actually does use Bluetooth because you can hook it up to a computer.
Mm.
I don't know about the Sony ones because they have to, you have to plug it in for them to, recognize each other.
Yeah.
But the 360 controllers are based on 802.11, but it's like a spin-off technology that Microsoft developed themselves.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why they're probably not covered by this lawsuit.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the thing. Microsoft, a big enough company, they probably would have produced that for something else.
Bluetooth is quite expensive to license.
Yeah.
Compared to
where if you're a company like Microsoft, you happen to be building something already that works just as good, you might as well use your in-house stuff. Yeah, I can see Nintendo throwing money at it, and I must admit, if this had happened
now,
the consoles,
this would be thrown out. This is an obvious attempt at trying to get some money. Corporate Innovations Group, what the fuck is that?
If this was when the consoles,
is this some sort of WoW guild which deals exclusively in copper? They're too poor to have silver.
You can just imagine what happened if this is when the consoles were coming out. Nintendo would just throw money at it, and it would be sorted. They'd pay to do it.
Nintendo don't have any money. They've got all their debts to pay off.
Sony would just turn around and go, right, okay, we're pulling the controllers. You're going to have a wired one.
Okay, we're cancelling the PS3. That's the last straw.
Oh, God.
They are asking for damages plus interest, legal fees, and an injunction permanently prohibiting Sony and Nintendo or their agents from infringing upon the patent, which would mean bye-bye wireless controllers for the PS2/3 and Wii. Whether Microsoft is also a defendant wasn't disclosed, but I think that's unlikely. Because some other news items have mentioned the fact that Bluetooth is involved.
Well, they can hardly make everybody who's bought a Wii and a PlayStation 3 hand them back, can they?
If... Well, to take the PS2 suit with the, rumble in the controllers, the Immersion Group or Tech or Limited, whatever the hell they are, they asked for the PS2 to be removed from sale in North America.
Right.
Obviously, the judge threw that out because that's a bit OTT.
Yeah.
And Sony just paid some money instead.
Bit crafty of them.
Well, yeah, this is the trouble with patents and owning ideas. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So there we go.
In Soviet Union, idea belonged to people, to be spread among people. Yeah, like Tetris. Tetris was developed, and within 2 weeks, it was on every computer in Moscow. Within a month, it was on every computer in the USSR, in the Warsaw Pact countries.
And everybody was addicted. It's like crack cocaine.
Yeah,
gaming. Line.
You know, people say, "Oh, it was the evil communism and whatever, which was responsible for the collapse of the USSR, and like the slowdown in their economy." It wasn't. Everyone was playing
Tetris. Oh yeah, my mum's living proof of it. When she found out that what that black thing attached to the bottom of my GameCube was, that it was actually a Game Boy player, and that she could go get her copy of Tetris, plug it in, and play it on my big screen TV in my bedroom. That was it. I never got my bedroom back. That's why I bought her a DS with Tetris. Keeps her happy.
Tetris is a good game, but it has one main flaw.
What's that?
It's old, man, and it doesn't have nukes.
Tetris nuke.
Yeah, that'd be good. Every time you get a row out, the row explodes in a massive explosion.
Sweet. I like that.
You'll make it better.
Okay.
Anyway, what else is going on? Have you got anything, dude? Because CES was a huge flop, wasn't it? Nothing happened at CES.
Really?
It was like the biggest boring trade show in the history of the universe. Microsoft announced stuff they announced last year. Sony announced nothing. Nintendo weren't there. nobody else was there.
It does seem.
Well, yeah, everybody was there. But
Christmas, everything seems really quiet, apart from Grand Theft Auto. You know, there's a few games out that are coming to be out, but nothing is screaming, "Oh my god, I need to start saving my Christmas pennies."
Well, yeah, the trouble is CES has just gotten so big that nobody knows what's going on. Oh, there was some funny / retarded stuff from what they called Gizmodo. I don't know if you guys saw this. They were going around with a TV remote control thing, basically. And I'll play the video when this loads up. They had a TV remote, basically.
Is about making sure that we deliver devices for the consumer. And you can just wait a moment because I think some of the screens have just gone down.
So this is the retards from Gizmodo doing this.
I know what they're doing. It's a multi-frequency remote. It pumps out off and only off in every frequency a TV can be on.
Well, no, it does off and on.
I've got one. Dave gave it to me for going into the pub with his football and just to push it to all the TVs in the pub and just turn off it.
I think we're going to ignore this screen and we're going to get going on the rest, so I do apologise for the technical pitch. Let's take a look at what he got up to on his trip to Vegas.
Hey, this is Jeremy. Thanks for the camera phone. Thanks for the credit card. I'm going to do my best to spend your money wisely and show off what your phone can do for your phone.
Oh my god, just turn it off halfway through. I'm surprised no one picked up on it, the fact that TVs are going off all over the place.
Right, so a few thoughts on this. Adam?
If you're bored at one of these computer conventions, it's a good thing to have. It's a good way of selling their gizmos, though, if they actually make it.
They don't fucking make it. They were given it by a bunch of twats, and you know, say, "Oh, look, promote our shit by going around and turning everybody else's shit off." Right, what do you think about it?
I think it's funny.
It's the biggest computer prank ever.
You two both need a slap around the face. Because just think about the amount of fucking work that goes into these shows.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that these people are like there and suddenly all their fucking screens turn off.
Exactly.
Yeah, the amount of work that's gone into wrecking it.
Now I've watched this, I'm going to...
The amount of work gone into wrecking it. Some guy there...
I'm walking past Dixon's more often now with the damn thing.
Yeah. It's ridiculous and they should be... The trouble is, Gizmodo are a bunch of bloggers, right? And the whole blogger versus journalist thing has really flared up in the last couple of years. And the trouble is, you know, they go to these things as bloggers and then they pull all this kind of shit. And then they wonder why the blogger community has such a bad rep. It's because it's full of fucking twats like this who should be beaten up around the flipping side of their head until they don't live any longer.
I would hate it if I wasn't there, but it was pretty funny.
It was pretty funny until you actually think about what the other people have to put up with.
If it was just they had to press the on button and come back on again, you know, it's no big hardship for
you. But the thing is, okay, I will say it's not so bad if, you know, the wall of screens, nobody's doing a presentation, you just turn them off. But when somebody's doing a flipping presentation, that's so fucking, that is rude. That's like jumping up in the middle of the stage and interrupting it.
Yeah, I would agree with you on the presentations. I would say the big displays... The one with the girl, that was quite funny because she's just talking about two guys playing a video game. You just want her to shut up and watch the video game being played. And yeah, she's only there as female right. because she was pretty fit. Now, the ones where people are playing demos, I like that because you could use it as a good excuse to get some asshole off who's hogging the console before you. You just turn it off, he buggers off, and you turn it back on again and you carry on playing.
That's true.
It's really retarded, and I hope they don't get invited to any more trade shows in the future.
Makes me want to go find mine. It's in my bag somewhere.
Oh no, Smith is in the chat room. He says, grats on 100 episodes.
Thank you.
I thought I'd banned him, man. He's so banned.
How many years has it been?
How many years has what been?
Gamercast.
2 years. Well, over 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we do miss the odd week. Occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you ban someone?
Because it's Mr. Smith and he's evil.
Why?
He goes on the forums asking for everybody's addresses and shit. It's really freaked out. He's got a few screws loose. So we're just going to minimize this.
Because you don't want to get the name backy. Right.
We're going to get to talk about Warcraft now.
Oh, God. Okay, talk about Warcraft. Look, okay. I'm putting this in the show notes. Warcraft.
Yay. Yes.
Put Wrath of the Lich King so we can talk about something new.
All right, so now you want me to change it from something Warcraft new. To yeah. World of Warcraft. Exciting.
I can't wait for it to come out.
Exactly.
Wrath of the Lich Dude.
Absolutely. Right, so I'm taking that you want to know about Wrath of the Lich King.
We do.
Yeah, the Lich King... or the trailer thing, the bloke in the trailer, just Dudinov trying to get back at Data now because Dudinov doesn't have any money anymore.
No.
That was the thing that I got excited.
Oh, news!
This is when he
stopped. Somebody's playing on the Xbox.
When he.
I bet you 10 quid it's my dad playing Guitar Hero.
Well, there's no one else there. But that means he's finished his WoW.
After the last time I got
him on useful information.
On WoW, which was the first time I got him on because I let him use my trial.
Yep.
And then he got it, and then.
Yeah,
after
I
came back to play on it. So he
I
liked it.
Predate him.
Then
yes.
After
he predates me.
So
and
he should have 3 level 70.
He predates all of us.
My dwarf should be at level 70, but I've just got shitloads of characters. I keep playing
he gets
from one to the other.
After like 10
and
minutes.
I always got mine on cards because I used to freeze my account and then play City Heroes. And then I freeze that account and come back. So I've got similar level characters on... Heroes, and I used to play Star Wars Online as well, so that's why where my time isn't playing into one character. That's why I'm only playing as a dwarf now, because I'm determined to get higher level.
Your dwarf, which is already being like, we've gone up.
That Star Wars game wasn't free either, was it?
No.
Negative.
That was the first one I had. That was the first massive multiplayer game online.
Star Wars Galaxies.
That one.
The first MMO, I
think. Dude, you're too quiet.
Guild Wars.
Look, see this? This? Yeah. You see where my voice is at the moment?
When I clap, it goes really, really red and orange, and that's where he hates it because it will piss people off with iPods.
Don't you have to keep it below that level, okay? Below.
Well, you just told me to go above.
Yeah, but not so much above, like Adam clapping.
I ignore it.
That's why I get stuff saying I can't hear what this guy is saying. Why can't I have to turn it up? And then when you talk, it's too loud.
Well, anyway, Wrath of the Lich King.
Wrath of the Lich King.
The biggest news on Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah, what's that then? It sucks. It's not out yet. It's too much money.
It will be out this year, I reckon.
Yeah, it's officially.
It will be out this year.
Yeah. So middle of this year, I reckon we'll be leveling up.
Spore is out
80.
Soon.
Mm.
Spore.
Hero class.
Spore is not heroes.
Hero class. Apparently the first one, meaning that there will be future expansions.
Yeah, the fact that they've said...
This will be the first hero class, more to come. So by that they mean that other expansions will be due. And the first hero class is not a class that you start from level 1.
No, it's a level 80 star, isn't it?
I don't... think so, because you have to go through a certain amount of quests, and it's going through a chain of quests in order to acquire that class. But then, I'm not sure if... Because you can choose to keep your character the way it is. I have a level 70 warrior, And I can choose to keep it as a
Who's
warrior.
Got the most powerful gloves in the game?
Yes, I have the most powerful gloves in the game, and I'm proud of it.
He doesn't have anything else decent, but whatever. No.
But basically, if I wanted to keep my warrior as a warrior at level 80, I could. But if I wanted to
turn him into a leprechaun class, basically what happens is you turn into this thing, which looks like a gnome.
This is where I have to put up with.
Yeah, it's awful. He's awful. If I wanted to change my warrior into a hero, I think by doing
right,
so.
Right, that's it. I'm splitting the guild. Adam is joining me.
By
screw
doing
you.
So, you.
I'll leave you with the noobs I recruited.
Restart at a certain level.
Yeah, from I watched.
Look, hang. Let me interrupt. What the hell are you on about?
I think
we're talking about the new hero class.
I think from the end of it is.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to do.
You have to explain what the hero class is.
It's
the
hero.
First.
Death Knight. Hero classes were based.
The Death Noob.
I think it was either in Warcraft 3 or Warcraft 3.
Heroes were introduced in Warcraft 3.
Warcraft 3.
And you could level them up.
But the Death Knight comes from Warcraft 2 because Gul'dan was a Death Knight.
Was what? A noob knight?
And that's also what the guy from the Frozen thing was in the expansion pack to
Prince Arthur's.
I think from the sounds of it, what they were saying was you have the right to carry on your character as the Death Knight. I don't know, I think they may for the first time allow you to have duplicate names. You can keep him as he was and you have him as he is. But if you wanted to, your character becomes a Death Knight, but if you wanted to, you were an elf and you carry on your character, but you give him a different name and you could have him as a gnome.
Right.
So
I am not
like,
a gnome.
It's
okay.
Kind of like...
And it's the new pronunciation is Gnome. We pronounce the G now.
Okay Gnome.
Like Gnome.
They did a similar thing in City Heroes. When you got to level 60, the
Gnome
level, you would unlock another class to play as, and you start from level 1. So I think this is what it is. It's a sense of getting to cap level won't unlock it, but like you said, you're going to have to go through these trials to become a Death Knight. And when you do it, it unlocks the ability to create a new Death Knight.
Right.
But his starting level is not level 1. I think it's... Actually, thinking about it, I think it might be like 50 or something like
I
that.
I heard 50 somewhere as well.
Yeah,
so
I think they knock it down enough so that you get... Otherwise, it's a very short time to have a new class.
Mm.
There's not enough time to actually grow the character, and they want to give enough ability tree and enough things to learn. Otherwise, as soon as you've got it, they're going to have to give you everything in a basket, and there you go, you're already leveled up to your cap level, and which would make it a bit annoying, because if they give you another expansion pack with another hero class, you're going to have to stagger them to go along a bit.
One of the big issues about the new hero class is that the Death Knight will be a tank, a plate-wearing character, as well as a spellcaster, which will kind of make the warrior obsolete.
Yes.
The warrior is never obsolete.
Because that's the reason why I'm a paladin, just for the fact that
that's the reason why I'm a warrior, because too many people like you...
I've got weapons, but I can heal myself and others.
Let me interrupt. The reason I'm a warrior is to show that warriors is where it's at. Even though the warrior bloke is actually my second bloke compared to my
level 70 warrior is quite well geared, and in PvP... He loses all the time.
One thing I'm looking forward to...
Well, they just need to beef the warrior up a bit.
Yeah, even though... Because the cap's level's going up, one thing I am looking forward to is the fact that...
Banana Man.
Pack of Burning Crusade was the fact that, okay, you got a class from Horde over to Alliance, and vice versa. So you had Shaman and Paladin swap over, and you had two new characters to play with. But if you still had
a level 60 and you wanted to run up to level
70... You had all the new things to learn up to level 70, as well as the extended tree, which means that if you've already got a character you're working through, you know there's going to be more power-ups, more spells and stuff added up to cap 80, which would be nice.
Yeah. There won't be any new races as such in the new expansion, but what they said they would do is
make the Gnome noobs even noobier.
With Burning Crusade, they had four map areas for basically level 1 to 20, and for the new expansion, Wrath of the Lich King, they will actually make the whole level 70 to 80 areas a lot bigger, so there will be a lot more to actually play on with your high level characters.
Yeah, this place.
Yeah.
Northrend.
I'm looking forward to it, because it is showing that they're
going to expand that. Or, as it's called in Elfland, North noob.
It reminds me similar to the expansion packs to Morrowind, with the fact that...
Hey.
Let me finish.
Don't say the word Morrowind in the same sentence as World of Warcraft.
I mean on the expansions. Morrowind, you got your landmass.
Ah, Morrowind. I'm going to play Morrowind.
Tribunal, you had an area you had to go to, but it is not on the map. You had to warp to it. The same with Burning Crusade. You've got an area, but you have to go through the portal to get to it. Now, the third expansion...
So is it actually on the map or not?
It is on the map. It will be there.
No, the Burning Crusade high-level
Burning Crusade's
place.
On a completely different planet.
Yes.
Right. So that explains why it's not
where
on my map.
It's from the planet where the orcs come from.
Oh, cool. That's that.
Basically, the Burning Legion brought the orcs portal to
Don't
Azeroth
mess with
and
the
dropped
Legion.
Them here. And when they finished doing their dirty work, they were pretty much stranded and everyone was pissed off because they were fighting a war for someone to enslave them. And they were left to battle their own...
I'm not that kind of orc.
Another thing they're going to do with Wrath of the Lich King...
Wrath of the Lich Noob.
They're going to have two starting points, which you can choose from.
One in Kalimdor, one in Old Land.
No, basically you will be able to choose whether to start at one point of Northrend or at another. The reason they're doing that is because when Burning Crusade came out, everyone rushed to the Dark Portal and all the servers were lagged to the maximum on the starting point of Burning Crusade, and what they're trying to do with the new expansion is just trying to split it in half. So you're going to have two starting points to choose from.
Oh, that's good. Split it up a bit until everybody spreads out.
Yeah. That's basically what they were trying to do and cut down the lag on the first.
Hey, I need to have a level 70 character by then. Or level 60 anyway, because
I think that's why they're delaying their release, because a lot of people are still getting new items and new.
Yeah, they don't want to make people feel like they. Because too many people look at the end goal.
Dude.
At the moment, I cannot see past level 40.
Mm.
I'm not thinking about Burning Crusade, I'm thinking mount. I've always done this with really long games. I always think small goals.
Yeah.
At the moment, I'm thinking mount. When I've got to mount, I'll probably be thinking a different type of armor or something or whatever. So, for that sort of thing, I'm no thinking that far. But some people, they can't think anything but the end goal, and they will stay up all night playing until they bloody get to that end goal. And if they've not even gotten to Burning Crusade and they bring out a new expansion pack, people are going to be keeling over with like lack of eating and sleeping from trying to get to this content.
Northrend has a content for levels as low as 68.
Yeah, the starting level for Burning Crusade is 58, so Northrend will be starting at 68 as well.
Gives you ability that if you're finding a bit of content not for your liking, you can move away from Burning Crusade and go try a bit of that.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and jump between the two.
The good thing between the first World of Warcraft game and then the Burning Crusade is as soon as you reach level 58, trying to get to level 60 is quite hard work in Azeroth, but if you go straight to Burning Crusade, the experience that you get from quests and killing mobs is a lot higher, so you will actually get those two levels a lot quicker. So I'm guessing it's going to be the same for those players who haven't reached level 70 yet.
Yeah.
If you go to Northrend, they will be able to level a lot quicker as well.
It also gives that ability that you're not going in a straight arrow through the same content as everyone else. I find that...
The funky thing with my elf is he did a little bit over here, and a little bit over there, and a little bit over there.
Because you've got multiple starting
areas. And then he had so many quests, he didn't know what was going on.
Everybody's starting areas, they spread out like a dropping a pebble into water and it just rippling out of the different areas of each level you can go out. And because you've got multiple ones, you can get to a certain level, and so you can get onto a boat, you can go, I'll go to the left landmass, and you can level all the way up to level 60, and
Kalimdor.
You can step foot back onto there, because there's
Kalimdor.
Enough areas, and you've got north and south split, so that's four different areas that you could just like pull forever stays in the human area, and you could level all the way up just staying in there to a certain point.
I probably will, because I'm surrounded by all these humans, aren't I?
Yeah, and it's
well, miniature humans.
Yes.
And it's the same with like from the dwarf and the gnome, you would just go northwards humans. Towards the like the dead undead people.
Dead.
So I do like the fact that they're keeping the same thing for obvious reasons for the server, but it is nice that you've got two different points of content to have different contexts of environments and stuff. And then for us, as we get up on our level characters at the moment, if I go on a Burning Crusade and find it absolutely boring and then the expansion packs out, I could just say I'll come back to that, or I'd stuff it and just go on to the new one.
Well, you still have to get up to 68.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually take the boat straight from Manifold Harbour at level 1 if you wanted to, right to Northrend, but the only problem is you'd probably get killed by the first one.
Oh, you say that all the time. You're going to die, it's too hard, and then I just like steamroller over everything before me.
Another thing about the expansion, there will be a new PvP battleground with destructible buildings.
I'm liking that. It gives a bit more of an environment of something coming flying over your head and blowing something up.
Yep, so I'm not sure what the aim of the battleground will be yet, but I'm guessing
to
it's
blow
be
up the enemy.
One thing that they've not stated, obviously they haven't got as much of the content.
Should we
out,
hang on a minute? Shall we just rename this podcast World of Warcraft?
Yes.
Podcast Unofficial Edition.
No. One thing they haven't said is anything about the mounts, whether or not
Gamercraft.
Because it's back where it is, but obviously it's separated by a loading line, the same as both landmasses are. You can't swim across. You have to be on a boat. And the bit in the ocean in the middle doesn't really exist. You get to a certain line and it loads you over to this part, and the bit in the middle never really existed.
Dude, my elf swam all the way from Kalimdor to Ye Oldland. He swam. He's hardcore.
But it's...
he swam at level 11.
It's...
There were monsters there which were level 100, and he took
land
them on.
There, so
yeah,
I'm curious, because they're going to cut you off by water, whether they'll let you use the flying mounts there.
I don't think they'll let you use the flying mounts.
I don't think they would, but
because
they haven't stated anything.
Otherwise, right from the beginning, you'd be able to explore the whole
place.
Area.
Yeah.
Who knows?
We'll give you some different mounts. I'm kind of a... one thing I would like to see in a further expansion pack is
a new race of
leprechauns. Because obviously this one is falling back onto content from the expansion pack from Warcraft 3.
Yep.
But I'd like to see something from Warcraft 2 of the fact of more boats. You've got that bit of map there in the middle that you never see. I'd like to be able to load to it.
This is his idea of like getting the horde. Like PvP, only on boats.
Well, that would be quite fun, really.
Even if you weren't controlling the boats and you're just you're firing cannons and stuff and doing stuff and the boats go around and then eventually they'll link together and you can board each other and have it as a PvP map.
I quite like the idea of that.
And then maybe you've got some dwarves coming in on griffins and you've got some gnomes coming in with planes and stuff like that. Just getting a bit different content.
Gnome.
It worked exactly the same in Star Wars where they did like Jump to Lightspeed where you can move to a massive multiplayer ship sim game, but you're still using the same characters.
Yeah, they should make this ship simulator. Warcraft.
A good thing they should do is be able to use your weapons and draw your weapons from a mount. So while on a mount, you should be able to use your weapons. That would.
Yeah. Because then you could either get to the bit where you're on a mount, I'm on a mount, you get close to each other,
and
stand there and have a bit of a battle and then move on. But it'd be quite cool if you're chasing after someone, hunter is pulling out bows and riding. And just shooting arrows across.
That would change the whole...
Yeah, but a hunter can't shoot arrows and move at the same time.
No, but if he's not moving. He's sat on a moving animal.
They would do it like that.
Or they could just...
If the hunter could shoot and move at the same time, it would dominate every other class there is.
Mm.
It's the same... If you give any one class the ability to use their basic... The hunter can, use his magic shooty weapons... while moving, but you can't stand and shoot.
Alright.
And if you did that to any class, they would just dominate.
I think the
warriors would stand no chance.
I remove that now. Instead of having it as a skill that's to do with your class, have it as a skill to do with learning to ride a mount. So as well as learning to ride a mount,
look,
everybody's
we don't need
either got
prancing
a bow
around
or a
shooting
gun,
everyone.
Or if you're a mage, you've just got this new type of spell, but you can only use the spell while on mount. And even if they just put it to PvP only. So when you're in a PvP battleground, you can, if you're a hunter or a warrior, you've got a gun or a bow.
They'd have to rebalance the paladins and warriors.
Everybody would be the same. So
warriors have no ranged attack unless they learned guns, in which case they're still not very good at it.
Yeah, but I'm saying
if you've got a level 50 hunter, he's going to have a far better range skill than a warrior.
But it's got nothing to do with his. What I'm saying is, instead of having to do with the class, it would do with the mount.
I object.
Okay, and the next thing, there will be a new skill to learn, and that is inscription.
Boring. I don't want to be writing out the Bible, thank you.
Inscription will be an amazing new skill because
I know, I've got all this linen cloth and I can tie it into like letters and then I can press it onto
like
my copper.
Nothing like that. It's going to be very similar to enchanting.
Boring. Being minor.
At the moment, enchanting improves your gear and your weapons and stuff by giving it extra stats.
Inscription and improves your brain.
Inscription will improve your spells. So for any spellcasters.
Spell monkeys.
Yes. For spellcasters, basically inscription will be able to improve their spell statistics. And
oh, that's cool. Give me some improved spells.
I am guessing that for players who want to be in it straight away, we'll have to...
Do they need to buy copper off me?
No, I don't think that mining, skinning, or any of that into any use. I think the inscription will use a lot of the dust and essences from enchanting.
Great, the stuff so I never have.
If you're an enchanter...
You can make some money off these
people. You'll probably have a good start with the new skill inscription. That's my guess.
Is this going to be something that you'd have to pick up from level 1, do you think?
Yeah, you'd have to start your skill at level 1, just like when Burning Crusade came out with jewel crafting.
Yeah, so
you have to start from level 1.
So if it's like you've always been playing the normal thing and you're like, oh, new expansion, oh, stuff it, I'll start from level 1 with my Junine or Blood Elf or something because you never got to play with them. I suppose it's an advantage because now you could actually pick enchanting, which never has a good bedfellow. I've always used it with a mage, and I've always had tailoring with it, because tailoring never really has a good bedfellow to go with it, because of it doesn't need anything. Anything it needs, you have to buy it. Mm. But at least now you could have
go
two.
To the auction house and buy my copper.
I don't even need your copper. I get my copper. I've got shitloads.
You need give it to me then. I'll set it on.
I make stuff. I'm trying to get to the point where I can.
You actually bother to make stuff. I don't bother. I just take the materials and stick it in the auction house, which is why my bloke does exclusively collecting. Because I learned one thing with Data now: making stuff is too much hassle.
Well, that's why I spend
a lot of
time. And
no bugger buys it. Because everybody goes for like the most high-end things they can make at that level, and then the auction house is just flooded with the crap, and it's not worth your while.
Well, that's the thing, I don't sell my stuff I make.
I wouldn't wear the stuff I make, because it sucks.
I'll make it for friends and stuff, and they give me some stuff, but I literally just make shitloads of stuff. It's stuff like rods for enchanters. They can't get hold of that apart from someone who can make it, so I will sell them, and
dude,
I do get good money for
it.
But
Chris,
armor, you can pick that up from anywhere, so
Chris,
I...
Is Amelia an enchanter?
Yes.
Good, make her some copper, whatever it is. Rods.
Well, yeah, if she gets that
chop,
level
chop.
To use it. I've got silver ones, that's the first one it is. It's quite high level.
So
enchanter.
You're a blacksmith?
Yeah, the dwarf's a blacksmith miner. The mage.
I'm a miner, skinner, first aider, fisherman, cook.
The mage is a tailor and an enchanter. And the two druids, which are on two different servers, one of them is herbalist and potions, and the other one is something else which I can't remember. It might be tailoring and enchanting as well. So
okay, are we done talking about WoW?
No, because there's another thing.
He's got one more thing.
Before the expansion come out, I've heard they were going to release another patch with a new 20-man instance.
Ooh.
Just
good luck finding people for that.
Just like they did a couple of months ago, and they released a new 10-man instance. That was about 100 and something mega download. It took me ages. And I haven't been there yet. You need to be quite high gear to go there, unfortunately.
This is that new one that's out for with the trolls, isn't it?
The trolls?
Released on the last, the
that's
last
it,
patch.
Yeah. That was
trolls are disgusting, even more so
Zul
than Gnoll.
Ammon. And the gear you can get there is
really boring.
Well, it's not amazing gear. Basically, it's the next instance up from Karazhan, if you wanted to do 10 people instances.
Yeah, we need to do some 50 people instances. Do we have any 50 people instances?
No, the highest is 40 people.
Let's do that.
Well, how what level is raids? Got to be at, is that 60?
You can start raiding, yeah, level 60.
So we got that level. That's the thing I like about it, because they capped at 60 ages ago, you've got all this content for us to get through, but there's so much more waiting at level 60 onwards of the different
expansion
battlegrounds.
Packs.
All the different.
With all the extra stuff. Like 100 people instances.
Because that's the thing I do like about it.
I know
what
we need.
You can go back and go through all the dungeons, all the instances, once you've capped out and you've done all the quests. Because quests are not going to be any good to you anymore unless you enjoy doing them. So
yeah, quests are boring. Let's go around
killing
the
horde. Once you've capped everything, then you've got your PvP battlegrounds, you've got the gladiator arena, and everything else to keep yourself occupied.
Mm. Yeah, it's really once you get to level 70 that you know you start going through the best bit of the game.
Because it does allow you to go through all those dungeons and just...
The only problem with it
is... We're all level 30 odd.
The only problem with Warcraft when you get to level 70 is that if you want to do the best raids or even any raids like Karazhan, you have to be in a guild with people who will only take hardcore players. And if you're just an occasional player,
right.
even if you're level 70, even if you're good, there's a high chance that you will never find a guild that will take you unless you have top of the class gear with
that is why we have
and
we have a special guild which welcomes everybody as long as they chip in some money for our bank account.
And
what are we spending with the bank account?
Are we spending what with the bank account? We don't have a bank account.
One thing you
will
find. Oh, we've
got money in to make get one, do
we? Yes, 100 gold to get one.
Oh, right.
One thing you will find when you get to the highest level.
Dinnendal can afford it, but he won't.
You just give
you
a stick to poke in the shadow.
Yeah, I will do.
When
you get to the highest level, the only thing that will spoil your fun are the other players. Because the other level 70 players who think they're so much better than everyone will actually spoil it all for you.
I can imagine.
Well, yeah, I've noticed this when we do our, you know, when we do our little instances now and then, there's always a bunch of twats on there.
Yeah,
and they start bitching about everything,
and
then we have you come along and say this bit's really hard, and then we just steamroll over it. Like so, we all get prepped, like everything ready,
and other things,
and then we just steamroll over the opposition.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about me dying. I die on a regular basis.
Then
we have you coming along, the healer, who's like in the middle of the fight, killing everything.
I'm a paladin. Look at my spec. I am a tank. I'm spec'd as a tanker, not as a healer. That's the problem.
Another thing I don't like about WoW. Probably the only thing is that WoW or Blizzard doesn't allow cheats or
I think that's a good
like
thing.
That. But then you get people who actually download third-party add-ons that are actually allowed by Blizzard. But
look at that new.
I consider that cheating in a way because you get third-party add-ons, for example, that will show you enemies on the mini-map. Which in fact is a hunter skill only. So
yeah.
if a rogue player would download that add-on, they actually have a hunter skill straight away.
Yeah. Which is
another thing is.
I would say that is cheating.
Yes, I would consider that cheating.
I would go as far as to saying no add-ons are allowed whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like UI add-ons.
Yeah, I would be happy with.
Because
no
it would be good if they just say blanket, no modifications to our game. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll open up our UI a bit so you can customize it how you want, blah, 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 which is where the only relevant add-ons would come
from. One thing they would like, either from a patch or from an add-on, which would be quite nice, would be something from playing Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
George.
Ability to... Where you go to the map to be able to put notations.
Yeah.
Even if it's like
where you're heading and...
Or even if it's like a pin, you go and you walk past something, you're with other people and you're like, oh my god, I so need to go here. You see the entrance to something and you want to go see it. But you're having to go with other people because they're all on a mission to go to an instant or a raid or something. To shove a pin in and click on the pin and then type in something to say level somewhere there. You know, if you're a hunter and you just saw a herd or a load of animals that you wanted, thought... I'll have one of those. You haven't got the time to be able to get it. At least you know where to come back to.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Or go give rough, you know, you can put rough areas of going where you know good mining areas are.
Don't give away my secret.
Yeah, because I've been in groups where I got kicked because I didn't have third-party add-ons. And it's like, well, you know, the game was designed without them.
Hmm.
So if people can't play with...
The patches are there to make sure everybody's at the same level. Third-party add-ons have got nothing to do with it.
If people can't play without a third-party add-on, they are noobs.
Yeah.
You level 70s with third-party add-ons, you are noobs.
If you can't survive with out your third-party add-ons, then sad.
Yeah.
So what add-ons
are
there?
It took me a while to figure out where that was when I first started playing.
Okay, the main
Tell me what add-ons are popular.
And the most popular add-ons are, for example, a warrior one. It will show you the percentage of aggro that you hold, and then the percentage of aggro that all the other players in your team hold. So you know who's going to be hit next if you don't hold the aggro. Things like that.
It's like having foresight in a game. It's just...
Yeah.
You're seeing... Because that's the thing. It's like... a lot of massive multiplayer games that are RPG style... I'm trying to think which one... One of them actually... Like... Let's use one that's not massive multiplayer, but is RPG. Knights of the Republic.
Knights of the Republic.
That was actually using Dungeons & Dragons rule system. So as you're playing the game, there is a program rolling dice for you at high speed. And it's a similar sort of thing here. And it's like being, okay, you're seeing the dice roll, but you shouldn't need to see it. And to see it, you are getting that sort of thing. You are seeing a bit of foresight of everybody's stats. Now, I know that if you wanted to, you could bump up your stats on the side and keep that window up and look at your armor and stuff like that. But... As a role-playing game, which this is, it is like playing Dungeons & Dragons, but much better. You shouldn't need to see the odds as such, which I think is a bit... It's good if you wanted to play as a team and stuff, so you can see what your teammates are doing, but that thing is hidden for a reason, not...
Yeah. Because at the end of the day, it was designed by Blizzard a certain way, and if they allow people to use third-party add-ons, why don't they actually introduce their own, so that everyone has it?
Yeah, has it as a... Well, it's like that button that you keep pressing that I've only used once, where it actually shows you the percentage damage of how much they've got left before you kill them, sort of thing. You know, have it as a UI tab. You click on it and up it pops, and you can circle through as many as you want above someone's head, as well as their name, to say, oh, that person's got so much, that person's got this. They're about to use magic, that's in their range. Because it's not exactly like you're playing a game where it's like Warhammer, where you can actually see where a person's range is. You know, you see a hunter come towards you in PvP battle, and you see the big circle around him, and you know, as soon as that circle touches me, he can shoot me. And you can just keep backing away from that circle.
Yeah.
It's not the true gameplay. You should be backing away from the character, not their target range, because you shouldn't really be able to see that.
That's what third-party add-ons do, and, you know, they just shouldn't be allowed by Blizzard.
Right. Ready for the next bit?
Yep. I was going to do another little talk about Crysis. I see that Chapstick will be playing with the editor quite soon. He's completed Crysis now. I haven't. I'm still on whatever level I was last week because I have to play World of Warcraft all the time.
Yay.
But yeah, this week I had a play with the editor. Well, actually, let's back up a bit. This week I did my first multiplayer game. Don't turn that computer on.
I didn't.
You flipping well did. Dude, what are you doing?
Nothing.
You're gonna play WoW, aren't you?
Yes.
Right, so yeah, we did Crysis. Multiplayer mode, I showed Adam relatively.
That guy's
quickly.
On a broom and he looks like he's a
Dude, we're talking about Crysis now.
Train-ho with a farm hat.
He looks like he's a
Dude. Stop paying attention to World of Warcraft. We're talking about Crysis. Dude!
He's a Mountie. He's a Mountie on a broom.
What are you talking about?
There's a Mountie. He's got the Father Christmas outfit on and a Mountie's hat on, and he's riding a broom. He looks like a Mountie. He needs a, like a...
He's a commando unit. Don't mess with him.
Of course he's a commando unit.
Fish me a cake. I'll just talk...
Tell him to jog on and then go.
Yeah, so Crysis. We did a bit of multiplayer. I think the multiplayer in it is absolutely fantastic. It's I would say it's on par of Battlefield 2, maybe 2142 as well. So yeah, give multiplayer a try. But the main thing I got on multiplayer was I first saw the nukes.
Mm.
And the nukes made me want to go to the editor and give me even nukes on the first level. And yeah, it's just really impressive what they've done with that. I think a few months ago we talked about how impressive the effects were in World in Conflict, or in Crisis. They're like the best effects a game has ever had.
Mm. Thing is, though, those are just effects which, fair enough, come from a weapon you can fire, but at the same time,
yeah, you do get all the physics going on with like boulders and trees being flung up into the air.
Allows
people, if they're caught in the blast.
It allows for a game that you could have a game where that sort of thing is going on around you. You know, a nuclear blast, big bombs going off, and the environment is completely changing with you. So,
you're supposed to be here to record the show, not play World of Warcraft.
I am recording.
Worry about your bloody fishing.
Yeah, but I'm just fishing. I'm not doing anything. He's gonna be like trying to make money and stuff and level up.
So if he goes on and fishes, it'll be alright.
He can't fish, he's a noob.
I never go fishing much. But the thing is, you've got to use reason to fish, I don't.
Anyway, so yeah, Crisis Multiplayer rocks, and the editor is really simple to use. I haven't messed with the Far Cry editor, so I don't know how it compares to that. But wow, it's so much better than like the Doom pre-editor, the Half-Life editors, and the Quake editors. It's really awesome.
Right, shall I do my review now?
Yes, you can do your review.
Right,
we're short on time,
yeah,
I have to interrupt my Crisis talk because Chris spent so long talking about World of fucking Warcraft.
We at least had something to talk about.
Yes.
I'll just do...
Yeah, then you complain that you're
late. Right, I'm going to do a review on the PSP Slim and Light console.
So yeah, if everybody casts their mind back to last week, Adam was raving about the PlayStation Portable.
That I wanted to get one
again.
The
rehash.
I'm not that fussed about having the Slim Line one. I just wanted a new one, and that's the only one, unfortunately, you can get hold of. First of all, I was majorly disappointed by the fact that it is not the same casing where it's matte on the back and then a translucent casing with black inside. The whole thing is just shiny black. So it is basically fingerprints galore.
Why is there a half naked elf here?
I don't know. They like being they roam around regularly, half naked elves. First thing you notice, it is much lighter. My elbows do like the fact I can hold it up for large lengths of time. They've moved a few things, which was nice. They've moved the button for Wi-Fi. It's no longer able to be flicked by your finger while you're playing. Excuse me. And they've removed the ejection system. They've removed the ejection system for the UMD discs. You have to remove them yourself. Does mean that there's no mechanism in the back for you to break. You just open it up and a little flap knocks the UMD off the reader and allows you to pull it out.
Cheap, in other words.
Yeah, cheap, but less things to break. Talking of cheap, it doesn't come with a neoprene case like mine did when I had the first one. Doesn't come with something to put around your wrist. Doesn't come with a... Yeah, it was a case. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It was the case and the
headphones.
Strap.
Has it got headphones?
Didn't come with headphones. Didn't come with the remote, and it didn't come with a UMD DVD because I got Spider-Man 2 of mine last time I had one, and it doesn't come with a memory card.
UMD. We know how well that film format went, don't we?
Exactly. So all you get is the Slim. You get the charger and a battery and a manual, and that's about it. But quite impressed. It comes with the new firmware 3.71, which comes with ability to change the themes. At the moment, mine looks like a iPhone, which is quite funny because it does take the piss out of the iPhone. And I've got zombies.
What do you mean it looks like the iPhone?
It's got all the icons on the background of an iPhone instead of a PSP.
That shipped on the machine.
No, you can customize and change them how you want, and loads of people have done ones to take the piss out of other things, and you can have them on there. It was quite funny because they put on it iPSP on the as a symbol on it.
Lame. PSP is a much better name than iPSP. What are you, a PSP? Yeah. What?
But mine's also got Vista background on it.
Good, that's like what we'd like to see.
I've also found out that someone has also hacked their PSP, used a new firmware that's been designed, and they've actually installed a version of Vista onto a PSP.
No, they didn't.
I've only seen it on YouTube. I don't know how believable it is.
Oh, that's fake. There's no way they could even get XP running on a PSP. 95 is possible because you've got...
You have a look.
The new PSPs have 64 meg of RAM, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, you could get Windows XP running on it. There's no chance you get Vista running.
That was the other thing. 64 megabytes of RAM instead of 32. It also has...
Not that makes any difference because all the games are written for 32 meg of RAM.
Yeah. It's been bumped up as a speed reader so that it reads part of the disk in advance so that there's less loading time. And that's about it. Apart from that, it's still the same thing. I quite like it. Been playing Wipeout. I've got Metal Gear as well, so I'll be doing some reviews on those games. I won't talk about the games now. And I've also been downloading some demos and looking at
that's just the normal PSP software running. They just like hacked that because that isn't Windows Vista running. I suppose it could be 95 skinned.
It's amazing what they've done with the hack system.
Yeah, but that isn't Windows at all. That's just like a themed something else. They just took the graphics out of Windows.
Yeah, it might be. It's got the ability to go on the internet and has RSS feeds.
We like RSS feeds. You can subscribe to Gamercast.
So yeah, you can download Gamercast onto your PSP and stuff like that. So I'm quite impressed with what they've done to it. The next version of firmware will allow you to be able to connect up through Skype, so you can use it as a phone. Well, you want to, I have no idea, but...
No, that's actually quite a good idea. The only trouble is you have to be in range of a wireless network, obviously.
Yeah, so it means that if... Because we're getting Skype soon, because me and Sarah's couple of our best friends have gone and
I abandoned Skype, it sucks.
To Canada, and they're getting Skype, so we can talk to them. So it does mean that if Sarah's got Skype on her PC, I can ring her from a pub if they've got Wi-Fi, if I'm playing on a video game. Yay. Fun.
She's MSN, it does this, you've already got it and it does the same thing.
Yeah. So yeah, I was impressed but disappointed at the same time. If you have an older PSP, don't go out and buy a new one unless it breaks. That's pretty much all I can say. It's the same thing.
Not worth the upgrade.
It's not worth the upgrade, to be honest, for the fact that it's a little bit lighter. If yours is on its way out, then fair enough, it's a good thing to get. The newer ones will have newer firmware, which are even harder to hack, which are a bit annoying. But there are some websites that are specifically designed where someone's actually gone specifically for hacking slimline ones, because there's a thing out that's called Pandora's Box, which you have to hack both the battery and get a magic card, which is a program downloaded onto a Duo card called Magic, makes it a magic card. And with both of those installed, it allows you to delete the firmware and reinstall new firmware, which has been unlocked, allowing you to put homebrew hacked games, and you can also put any software you want on it. I know someone's just finished and released software that allows you to watch YouTube videos on your PSP.
Well, that's not hard considering it's got a web browser.
Yeah, but it's just a whole load of software. People are writing software for PSPs that normally you wouldn't be allowed to do because of the restrictions, but they've managed to remove the restrictions.
Well, no, they just hacked it.
Yeah. Remove them by hacking. But it's quite cool. Some of the customization of the PSP is quite good. One of the firmwares, when it loads up, the PSP talks to you and says, "Welcome, this is a PSP." And then it comes up with the PSP logo, and a load of blood just comes flying from the right hand side and goes straight across the PSP logo. It's really cool. It's just kind of like a new thing is to hack your PSP and completely customize it so it's completely different to any other. But in some ways, they're kind of showing Sony what people want their PSPs to do, and some of the things that people have been doing to hack them, like changing the themes. Sony had believed that the best way to stop people hacking their PSPs was to actually implement some of these into the new updates. So one of the latest updates allows you to completely change your theme. So the pictures you used to keep on your PSP, you can tag them as wallpapers. Then you can go to the theme section and actually go to any of the tagged ones and actually put them as a picture on the background.
Oh, that's good. Wow!
But before, you would have to do different hacks and different things like that to actually customize the
whole
look.
Can use your pictures as a wallpaper. This is, revolutionary.
Well, it's not revolutionary. It's just the fact you had to hack it to do it before, and Sony have kind of gone, oh, people actually want to do this. Fine, we'll do it. It's like, well, why they didn't think of it in the first place?
Why even bother mentioning it? Computers have been doing it for 30 years.
And Sony never bothered.
Phones have been doing it for a million years.
Yeah, Sony never bothered. And
what does this guy want? Die, elf man.
Okay. Die. Oh, you're a druid, aren't you? And you're at the...
I'm in elf land doing my druid shit.
Yeah. I like the fact that... but yeah, PSP, pretty cool. I will start doing reviews on games soon, next week.
Great, we look forward to that.
I'm done.
You done?
Yeah,
I'm done. Right, well, let's finish this episode up because everyone wants to play World of Warcraft.
And I need to go and have my dinner before my girlfriend goes loopy. Because she'd be screaming at me by now, but I don't actually have my mobile on me.
Good.
And I need to go to the toilet.
Great, too much
information. I'll probably be gone by the time you get back. I'll see you online.
Take care, man.
You too.
Right, we'll see everyone next week.
Later.
Next time, don't charge in. Heal us.
I always charge in. I've got a big hammer.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably doing more damage than some of the other guys you weren't healing.